What's going on, everyone? I hope everyone's doing well on this weekend of Thanksgiving weekend. Salute to everyone. We're going to get into the Bronx Bombers Strike Back podcast. It's about baseball, MLB. I have a lot of news and notes. It's in the Yankee-centric, but today we're going to talk about the team across the river, the New York Mets. They made a lot of splash, a lot of noise. Wow, the Mets are making a lot of moves, starting with the big signing. The Mets signed outfielder Sterling Marte, $78 million for 4 years. Whoa, a 33-year-old center fielder. The Yankees were in on him. The Houston Astros was in on him. You see other teams around the major leagues. A lot of speed, a good glove, a good center fielder. Wow, $78 million for 4 years. He's getting paid for Christmas. Merry Christmas to Sterling Marte being signed by the New York Mets. Also, the Mets made a lot of moves. You know, a lot of transactions, a lot of moves around the major leagues. It's going to stay the Mets. They also signed Mike Canna. Mike Canna also, the New York Mets signed him. A good 32-year-old veteran who could play all three positions, a little first base. It's going to give them flexibility. It's giving them depth. It's also giving them, you know, in case of an injury, so forth. They can move guys around. What does that mean for Michael Conforto? Could it be the end of Michael Conforto in the Met uniform? Or Kevin Pillar also? They both scheduled to be free agents. You know, Michael Conforto turned down the qualifying offer, and it looks like they're going to get compensatory picks for the New York Mets. You also saw they also signed Nick Plummer, of the former Cardinal prospect. He signed a one-year major league deal with the Mets. Just for depth, could it be that he might not even make the roster in spring training? Who knows? It's only a one-year deal. They'll take a flyer on it. We'll see. Also, the Mets have been rumored. We saw Scherzer's name for some reason with the New York Mets. Marcus Stroman is a big key. Will they bring back Marcus Stroman back into the fold? We shall see on that. We shall see also all the other possibilities. What does that mean for a Dominic Smith? Well, you know, will Dominic Smith be back? Be a DH? Remember, December 2nd is the collective bargaining agreement. The CBA expires. It looks like they're going to go for a strike. It looks like it's coming for Major League Baseball. Hopefully not. If there is, it's a swift negotiation to get back, because I do want the 2022 season to come forth. I wouldn't want to see an extended lockout. We shall see how both parties deal with it, and see how both parties will definitely get that bargain agreement done. We shall see if they will get it done. As my internet seems to freeze up a little bit. It always happens when I'm on by myself to do a podcast or watch along. Usually when I have a guest of folks, if this doesn't happen. So I do apologize for the technical difficulties with the internet, but we'll continue going on with the play, to watch along the podcast. And hopefully my internet fixes itself and it won't continue to do what it needs to do or lag. So the New York Mets, they got a lot of needs. They finally got Billy Epper as their general manager. So we're good to see them getting a general manager finally for the New York Mets. Also, you get to see that they need to find a manager. No manager yet. No manager to speak of for the New York Mets, as my internet is back and running. So I apologize for the small technical difficulties. Hope you heard me. And we keep going on. The Mets need a manager. A lot of candidates out there. A lot of folks want Buck Showalter as the number one target. I think the Mets are going to go in a different direction. We'll just see who's the hot candidate. Who wants to be the Mets manager to begin with? You know, we saw Luis Rojas no longer the Mets manager last season and so forth. They finally got Billy Epper as the general manager. Things are heading the right direction. I think they need to find a baseball operation and just tell Sandy Alderson to hit the sunset, retire. Thank you so much. And everyone's talking about pretty soon there'll be a new baseball operation manager for the New York Mets. The Mets are in the middle of transition. Remember, new owner, Steve Cohen. It all started the first domino with Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard took the qualifying offer, declined it, took the one-year, $23 million offer with the Anaheim Angels. He went to the West Coast, and now, you know, we saw Marcus Stroman is the next one. Marcus Stroman wants to return to the New York Mets. He likes playing here in the city. And although I think Marcus Stroman's real, if you ask him, put a true serum in there, and he does, he's not helping himself either. He wants to play for the Yankees. He wants to pitch for the Yankees, but the way you go about it, you don't insult the organization. If you want to work somewhere, you don't insult them. You know, he had already a couple tats with Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman isn't high on Marcus Stroman, although it could be a negotiating tactics for keeping his price down or whatever the case is. But and then he goes back and forth with him on Twitter, and he's not enduring himself to Yankee lore, to the ones that want to offer him the contract. But and down deep down, he wants to be a Yankee, but he's willing to return to the Mets, and maybe the snub by the Yankees fuel him more to want to pitch for the Mets and so forth. But look for the Mets to try to re-up and make a deal for Marcus Stroman in the near future. All these deals want to happen before December 2nd. That's why you see a lot of movement in the MLB. You also saw a lot of different transactions, a lot of movement. We'll stay with the Mets here. They also made a nice, they signed Escobar for a two-year deal from the Milwaukee Braves, a veteran infielder. What does that mean for J.D. Davis? Will the Mets bring back J.D. Davis? They're also in on Nick Castellano, thinking about giving him a contract offer. Nick Castellanos or Michael Conforto, really, if you want to bring in a corner outfield, the Mets, those are your two picks. It's up to you, Mets fans. You know, I think Mets fans are 55-45 split on Michael Conforto returning and not returning, because he's a homegrown talent, but he tends to disappear. But when he plays well, he could be a really formidable left-handed bat. We've seen that there for the New York Mets. That's why I think the fan base is 55-45 with Conforto leaving or staying, in my opinion. What are they going to do with the Javi Baez situation? You see that the Detroit Tigers are in contact with his agent, wanted to put up a contract. Detroit was also linked to Carlos Correa as well. They want to do some moves, trying to sign him. The shortstops are still out there for the Darling shortstops are still out there. We'll talk about the Yankees in a few moments. We also have Carlos Correa. You got Corey Seager. You got Didi Gregorius. There was rumors the Yankees and Didi might be brought back. We saw a lot of moves for the right now. We're talking the Mets. We'll get into the Yankees in a second. Right now, the Mets got a lot of things here. They need to revamp their starters. We all know that Stroman is a free agent. No Syndergaard, although a lot of Mets fans, I think the Mets fans are 30-70. I'm seeing Happy Noah's gone, and there's still 30% that wanted him to return. 70% are okay with it. If you're taking it just for $3 million and you didn't want to come back here for just a measly $3 million when you have made so much, for all these years, and you didn't pitch, I can see why the Mets fans, could turn on him. And I see why Mets fans are dear in heart to keep Syndergaard. You always like your homegrown talent to stay and develop with your team, with your organization, and have success with your organization. We like to see the growth in your in-house. But it is what it is. You can't hold on to a lot of your old players, especially, if they want to explore. And sometimes it's better for the best team. Sometimes you think you're going to take a step back, but really you might take one step, a half a step back to take four leaps forward. Maybe, it will be determined with Noah Syndergaard, in my opinion. I like the Noah Syndergaard myself. If I was the Yankees, I would have tried to give him a 1 to 2 year deal as well. Similar to what Anaheim did there. I was hoping the Yankees will offer a contract similar to Anaheim to see if he would have bought. There's low risk, high rewards when it comes to Syndergaard. And the Yankees have done that in the past with former Mets pitchers. So I thought that was going to be an avenue the New York Yankees were going to explore. But we shall see with the Mets. They got a lot of issues there. That's so far so good. They're becoming a strong veteran presence team. You bring up Marte, you bring a Canna in there, good veterans, leaders in the clubhouse, versatile players. You're going to get speed now and center fielder. Finally, Mets fans, you finally get your center fielder. You get to move Nimmo to a corner outfield position, a fourth corner outfield position. You still need a starting center, a right fielder, the left field situation as well. if there will be a DH. Will the Mets use Donovan Smith as a designated hitter? You could put Marcana at times there. Would you move a Donovan Smith and a JD Davis, trying to get some prospects to rev up the farm system? You know, the Mets got a depleted farm system as well. Will they try to get some picks, try to revamp that? You know, they're okay at catcher. They're okay. They're, of course, Lindor, shortstop, center field. So one thing that you build with a team is you're strong up the middle. We'll see if Javi Baez will return, if he wants to really play second base, or he really wants to, or his heart is set on being a shortstop. That should be determined. You also got what's the future for Jeff McNeil? You know, we all know the offseason, a lot of rumors came out that the squirrel and rat argument between Lindor and McNeil wasn't about that. It was about positioning in the infield, and Lindor wanted him to position a certain way, a lot of base hits, a defensive shift, or whatever the case is, whatever. They didn't get along. They got into a tussle, altercation behind the dugout. Do they fit? Will they continue being teammates? Although we all know the 86 Mets, they didn't like each other. They couldn't stand each other. The Bronx Zoo, 76 Yankees, 77 Yankees couldn't stand each other, and they made it work. I know it's different times, different eras, but we shall see if Lindor wants McNeil not here. You know, I think McNeil could play second, but if you're going to bring Javi Baez, you need a third baseman. You know, one name that I would see would like the Mets, if they're really big game hunting, try to get Matt Chapman out of Oakland. You know, get Matt Chapman, a really good third baseman, who come here, play some good defense, good glove. We shall see what they do. JD Davis could be offered in contract is reasonable for the Oakland Athletics, so forth. We shall see what the New York Mets will do. There's a lot of mysteries there. They lost Aaron Loop in their bullpen. You know, he went to Anaheim. Anaheim is poaching everyone from the New York Mets. They had a meme that the Anaheim Angels wants to sign Mr. Met. It was a joke, but you know what? Anaheim has to try to do something, change their fortunes as well. But for the Mets' sake, you know, it's going to look to see how they're going to revamp their organization with their general manager, the direction of their general manager, their mindsets. And we shall see how the Mets do this offseason. You know, right now, so far the moves, these last 24 hours, very good moves for the Mets. I think they're solid. I think they're very strong. I'm impressed here. Now I want to see how to do with their pitching. You know, you got to get Jacob DeGrom some help. You know, you need a 1-2 punch here for Jacob DeGrom. Would it be Matt Scherzer? I could see Cohen open up the wallets and signing Matt Scherzer. Now, is it up to Matt Scherzer? Does he want to return to the East Coast? You know, especially in the big market of New York, does he want to pitch in New York? He didn't want to. He said no last year to a trade to the Yankees, but he's a free agent. We'll see if they want to bring him in here and see go forward with that. We shall see. The Mets also had a little bit of controversy with Steven Matz with his agent. Steven Matz, the New York Mets wanted to bring Steven Matz back. They offered him a contract. Something was lost in translation there with the agent. Someone's fibbing. In my opinion, I think if the Mets said they offer a contract, maybe to keep the noise down on the fan base, maybe they just offered him a low contract. And we saw Steven Matz going to the St. Louis Cardinals, a good signing there for St. Louis. Also for him, Steven Matz, I think he'll do well there, get away from the New York media. And you know, he did well in Toronto. He had a pretty good season. We shall see with that there. I'll give you a little insights around the MLB. I mentioned, of course, November 19 was the big day where all the 40-man rosters were set. And with that, we'll talk about the New York Yankees now. The New York Yankees made a lot of news, good, bad, and differ. The Yankees, they designated for assignment Clint Frazier, Tyler Wade, Rougned Odor. Folks, like, wow, Tyler Wade and Clint Frazier, you could have traded him a while back for in many packages for players. You could have moved them. Yeah, not this offseason, but prior to the other trading deadline in the shortened season, the year prior before that. You know, Clint Frazier had value, and now he's designated for assignment. No value whatsoever. Anyone in the major leagues could have him. All they need to do is give him a minor league contract, bring him in here. Of course, Clint Frazier, with the concussions, the vision problems, the health issues, would I be surprised if no one gives him an opportunity or a minor league deal, and I can see Clint Frazier retire? it could be a possibility. I hope not. I hope that young man gets back on a major league team, goes into a small market team, tears it up, get himself a really nice contract, a 3-year deal somewhere, and just make some money, you know, and make money on his talents that God gave him. You know, he's a really good, a quick bat. Unfortunately, injury histories hampered him. Hopefully, he could go with a small market team, and he could, if he doesn't play the outfield from time to time, designate a hitter role. Just something for that young man to I'm rooting for that young man to have a solid major league career. You know, just something where he could make a transitional money, generational changing money for him and his family. So I am rooting for Clint Frazier, the Red Rifle. The Red Thunder, excuse me. Red Rifle is Andy Dalton. Red Thunder, I hope he does well. I hope he does, you know, continues to get better, healthy for foremost, and the headaches go away for him, and he gets, you know, back into a major league team and tears the league up. And I hate to say it, but if he's going to tear it against the Yankees, you know, it is what it is, you know, but I'm rooting for him as a person, Clint Frazier, to do well. We also saw one of the head-scratching moves so far this offseason for the New York Yankees, in my opinion, is the trade of Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade went to the Angels. They traded for a player to be named later. To me, wow, you gave away your speed. You traded away Tyler Wade, who was extremely, extremely fast, who could move and is extremely agile. And he is now an Anaheim Angel, you know, a lot of speed. And I understand folks says, you know, Tyler Wade is a triple-A player, you know, a quadruple-A player. He's just a quadruple-A player, not good enough for them, for too good to be in the minors in triple-A, and not good enough to be in the major full roster. But this year, I think Tyler Wade played really well. I think he came in there. He played a good defensive, and that role that the Yankees found, they found a role for him that actually worked. You know, stolen base savant. He could jack up different old trades. You could put him. You had him in center. You had him in the infielder, all through the left side of the infield, in the outfield. He had value, but they moved him. We have to. Hopefully, there's some speed. Yankees got a lot of question marks going forward. Pretty soon, there's going to be the November 30th is the tender deadline. Will they give tender a contract to Gary Sanchez? That's the next domino. We shall see. November 30th is a big one. Will they give Gary Sanchez a contract? You know, tender him that you know, arbitration contract. Or they just flat out let him walk and be a free agent. A lot of Yankee fans are looking towards that date, keeping an eye on that date. Especially me, I'm looking for December 2nd, the collective bargaining agreement, if they're going to go with the strike. But me is the if will they tender to Gary Sanchez? Right now, the Yankee fans are a little anxious, a little bit. With a little bit of anxiety because we don't see Cashman doing any moves right now. They're not moving anything, you know, when it comes to trade and free agency. See guys signing here and there. But the big guys are still around. The shortstops are still there. You know, the big-name shortstop, you know, right now is just contract and negotiation and money. You know, the winter meetings came and gone there. The GM meetings passed the last couple weeks ago. And now the winter meetings are coming up pretty soon, you know. The only transition I see going around, I'm looking to see for the Yankees, they had to protect some players in the 40-man roster. It was good. They bought up Oswaldo Cabrera, you know, a really young, a lot of good names for Oswaldo Cabrera, especially as a young shortstop. He might be packaging the deal, or maybe Cashman wants to bring the young shortstops up and give him a chance, you know, young youth who could play. Maybe his defensive metrics are so unbelievable. They want to say, you know what? Why say spend that money? You got already a couple $300 million players in Stanton, and you have it in our pitcher and Cole. You have to pretty much soon pay Aaron Judge and so forth. Maybe they want to reset and keep the money, you know, controllable at shortstop with as well. Cabrera, can you see a Alton Fitzsimmons coming in here and being a stopgap shortstop for the New York Yankees? That could happen. He could come in here for a 2-year deal. And have Oswaldo back him up. You also got Anthony Volpe down in the minor leagues. They have high hopes on him, you know, to see. We're also talking about, will they sign Anthony Rizzo, re-sign Anthony Rizzo back to play first base? You know, now that, you know, Olsen might be heading to Tampa, though I reported that it was heading to Tampa, but it's not official. So I misspoke there. I misput that on my Facebook page. Tampa did not acquire Olsen yet, but you know, there was a lot of rumors, and I saw Ken Rosenthal, but then I looked, it was a phony Ken Rosenthal. So I got caught in one of those fake burner accounts there. So I reported it wrong. I should have waited. It looked like I had the blue check and everything, but you know, it was not. It has not come through yet. And also, you see the Yankees. They bought up and they put him in the 40-man roster. Steven Writing. I like Steven Writing. We saw him come up last year. Good right-hander. It's going to help out the bullpen. If he comes out pitching the way he pitched last year in the middle of July when they bought him up from AA, he had a cup of coffee here. He had like about a 10-day cup of coffee with the New York Yankees. Steven Writing pitched really well, very impressive. The way his ball moved, the way he had control. If he returns with that, we'll see if he'll be a big part of the Yankee bullpen in this upcoming season, the 2022 season. He also had J.P. Sears, the left-handed pitcher, was also bought up. His contract was selected in the 40-man roster. Emerson Pereira as well. You know, the Yankees did minor moves. You saw Ruben Odor, time with the New York Yankees, come to an end. Ruben Odor was really good pickup for the Yankees. That's solid. Nothing to write home about. He played really well for the Yankees, a left-handed bat. At times, you know, provided a little bit of a spark, an emotional spark, inspirational spark. But just we know his better days were behind him. So Rugi played well for the Yankees. I know he's a free agent. He'll probably latch on to a good club, you know, Miami or so forth, and play well there. Or maybe return back to Houston. I mean, back to Texas. We'll see if he returns back there for Rugi Odor. The Yankees wish list. Everyone wants the shortstop, the darling shortstop. Me, I'm personally like, I'm like torn on that. I'm like, do I want Carlos Correa? I personally, if it was they want to spend money, like, you know, unresponsibly and just sign everyone, I would like Carlos Correa, to be honest with you. I also would like Matt Scherzer to be the starting, the 1-2 pitch, 1-2 punch with Cole. You know, that's in the American League. It's phenomenal. It'll be a great move, my opinion. You know, Boston's pitching staff gotten weaker. You know, we saw Eduardo Rodriguez signed with the Detroit Tigers. So their man, they're looking for pitching. Could we be in a bidding war with Boston for Matt Scherzer? Could Matt Scherzer end up in Boston with a Chris Sale? Keep an eye on that. You put that 1-2 punch together, Boston again, it's going to be with that line of J.D. Davis and a young players around him. You know, that's going to be a formidable pitching staff and a team there. Although bullpen, you know, they still got a lot to write home, nothing to write home about in their bullpen. They'll have a weak bullpen, but we shall see if Boston does that. If Boston signs Matt Scherzer, watch out. They could be an American League favorite, you know, just with that 1-2 punch, you know. And they got, you know, they sprinkle in some of their pitching staff with Eovaldi. So you got a 1-2-3 there, Eovaldi, Sale, and Matt Scherzer. Oof, that's a dangerous combination there. If you know, as a Yankee fan, it's a little bit of a concern. Also, the Yankees were, you know, you put Yankees in the pitching staff with Scherzer, Cole, you got Severino, Montgomery, you know, and then you have your fifth, you know, Nelson Cortez, or you could keep Nelson Cortez as a jack of all trades, and you've got Luis Gil, not bad of a pitching staff right there. And you know you have a good bullpen. You know, you could put Cortez as your long man, or you could even have a six-man rotation if you wanted to with the New York Yankees. You got, you know, you have, of course, you have Chapman. I don't think No, Britton. Britton will be out. You're going to find it. You need to find a good eighth-inning reliever, although Loaizaka is ready to take that next step. Chad Green is there. You know, let's hopefully he has a bounce-back year. You know, relievers are from year to year. You know, even though the Yankees bullpen, they also brought back Jolly Rodriguez for some innings. You know, Steven Writings will be making this Yankee bullpen. I am high on Steven Writings, particularly. I think he has the stuff. Also, you could bring some young arms on. Michael King, we saw last year, developed into that. You also have Caleb Smith. You have a lot of other players for the Yankees in their minor leagues ready to take that next step in spring training. There's going to be open opportunities for them to be making the bullpen. So the Yankees will revamp their bullpen strong. They'll bring maybe one reliever from the outside, and they'll do it within. They have enough arms to revamp the bullpen within, in-house. And I think their starting pitching is going to be a big key if they could bring – and they can land some starting pitching. Not the sexy names out there. Besides Matt Scherzer, you saw Verlander signed back to Houston for $25 million, 2 years. That's a good signing for Houston. You know, personally, to keep that competitive balance. You know, and you know, Scherzer's going to be 40 years old. Houston for 2 years. He knows he doesn't have to move. He knows the catcher. He has a rapport with the organization, with the catchers and so forth. That's a good re-sign for them. You know, they got Scherzer, Greinke, and so forth. They got a pretty decent pitching staff. But for the Yankees, if they cannot sign this free agent out there, I would like them go back to Oakland and get Mojica, the left-hander from Oakland, to see Mojica. See if they could get Mojica from Oakland, the left-hander. If I'm the Yankees, I'll find out what the package is. I am not giving Jason Dominguez up at all. Not for him. He's not worth it. He's not that transit. You know, he's a good number two pitcher for Oakland. And on this Yankee style, he's a good number two starter. Number one is up there, but he had injuries issues. So we don't know if he's the ace. He could come over to New York and be an ace, especially Yankee Stadium. There's possibilities right now that young man could turn into an ace because of the stadium. You bring him, Oakland Stadium. It's a pitcher's ballpark. Yes, it has a lot of outfield territory and so forth. And the outfield is really wide. You bring him to Yankee Stadium where you throw the left-handed pitcher, right-handed with Death Valley. Keep the ball down, and especially the Yankees offense, maybe you might turn him into a really good possible number two to flirt to a number one at times. So if the Yankees could explore a trade to see what it takes to get Mojica in here from Oakland, I would think about that. I would exploit that. I don't know if the Luis Castillo sweepstakes will finally be able to pull him away from the Cincinnati Reds. You know, we've seen Cincinnati, don't know what direction they're doing. If they're what they're doing, if they're spinning their wheels or they're really going for it, what they're building there. It looks like they're always mediocre, staying in the middle of the pack, hoping and wishing that the mediocrity turns into overachievement with the Cincinnati Reds. We shall see with that there in that division. Also, the Yankees got to address their catcher. I mentioned the November 30th where they have to tender these contracts. They'll either decline or tender an offer to Sanchez. They'll tell you the direction the Yankees will go. I think they'll tender him because they don't want to show their hand that they're in desperate need of a catcher. Because if you don't tender Sanchez, all of MLB knows that you're desperate for a catcher, and they're going to fleece the Yankees. Catcher is a very important position in the major leagues. So when you're building a club, and if you don't have a catcher and you're looking for one, teams could fleece you. You could end up getting, McCain had gotten from the Mets, fleeced them there. I know everybody wanted JT Realmuto last offseason. I think his contract was a little too rich. He's fine in Philadelphia. For the Yankees' case, we shall see which catcher is available. I like the catcher from Pittsburgh. You know, I mentioned him on my last podcast. I'm bringing him in here, 31-year-old, who could catch the ball really well for the Yankees, for the Pirates. Set up this pitching staff. We shall see if they will go for that, if they go for that. I don't know. I personally, with Higgy and Gary behind the plate, is still, to me, like, man, one of the two's got to go. Personally, you can't bring both back, honestly. I think you cannot bring both catchers back. And the thing is, you can't morph them into one strong catcher because Gary Sanchez have a freaking cannon. He has a cannon of an arm behind home plate. The bat, his offensive game, superior to none. One of the top four offensive catchers in the major league. But his framing of catching the ball, blocking the ball, whenever there's man on scoring position or man on base, you're afraid of the pass ball. You're afraid of that one knee stance. That's totally worries you. And with Kyle Higashioka, everybody runs on him. Toronto Blue Jays since 2019, yes, they've been running on Kyle Higashioka, not respecting the Yankees' arms. They've been running and running and running with that. And we're going to see them. Now they have the Baltimore Orioles, young and fast and speed. They're going to mimic. They're going to start. Teams are going to run on Kyle Higashioka. They know the scouting report. They know that his arm is good arm, not a strong, not a cannon like Sanchez, and teams tend to do that. And the running game comes into effect against the Yankees there. The Yankees don't hold runners on that well. Other than Jordan Montgomery and Nestor Cortez are the only two. Other than that, we all know Chapman can't hold the runners on, and Cole is decent. He really gets a lot of runners on, but it's not a good, you could run on Cole from time to time and so forth. And we shall see what the Yankees do in catcher, in my opinion. They need to bring a catcher. who could just control the game, the calling a good game, of setting up players. You have enough. You should, on paper, even if we haven't made any moves yet, we don't know who's our shortstop. On paper, we have enough offense that we could bring in a catcher who could bat around 221, 230, you know, professional catcher who could move the ball, put spray the ball, you know, hit the, you know, nothing. We don't need the glory and power. That's why we have Stanton, Judge, you know, Torres, you know, whoever's returning back on this lineup. We're gonna have power hitters here. We need a good catcher who could put bat on ball, who's a professional, you know, spray the ball here, there, get some hits, you know, and it's similar to how Joe Girardi was when we got him in 1996. You know, we traded away and we allowed a popular Yankee catcher, Mike Stanton, you know, who was a strong catcher, home run hitter, power hitter, and not similar to Gary Sanchez, but Stanton was not a good defensive catcher. You know, if the Yankees wanted to go to that championship level, they needed to bring in an upgrade at catcher position. They bought Girardi. It wasn't a popular decision. A lot of folks were scratching their head. Joe Girardi from Colorado, we didn't know a thing about it, but thank God for a guy named Don Zimmer who had him in Chicago, knew about this young kid, and the rest is history. So the Yankees are looking to see, they try to make a move like that. Can they find their, you know, 25 plus years later, can they find their Joe Girardi, you know, somewhere in another team? You know, we shall see if, you know, if their scouting report and listen to their coaching staff could bring it in there. We shall see if they can. We shall see. They need a catcher. They need to upgrade. You know, you could live with a Sanchez and a really good backup catcher, or no, a real good catcher who eventually will take over the reins with calling metrics and really strong defensive. You could bring Sanchez in. Sanchez could be the backup. You know, it doesn't hurt if Sanchez will be the backup, and then you don't untender him. I think that's a way to go. If Einstein is 2020, they could have traded Sanchez for someone else's farm and keeping Kyle and Austin Romine. I think that would have been a decent move, but that's revisionist history. That happened in the past. That's not going to happen no matter how much we hold our breaths and wish that would happen. But for the Bombers, the New York Yankees, we shall see what they do. You know, everyone's getting antsy with Cashman. Will the New York Yankees go over the luxury tax? You know, will they go over the threshold? And with this new collective bargaining agreement coming up, what will be the luxury tax? You know, everything around this is inflation. Everything's going up. Will the Major League Baseball push back their luxury tax to maybe $230 million for a team, and then anything after that, it'll be in the luxury tax. We don't know. The Yankees, and how much, if the Yankees, looks like how Steinbrenners are going to go over the luxury tax, the Steinbrenner family, they don't, but how much? 10%, 20%, you know, every percentage above, every extra 10%, there's a higher number of tax bill. The bill gets a little bit higher, and it increases by the percentage above the cap. So we should see if the Yankees want to go maybe. I think the Yankees will go anywhere from 10 to 20% over the cap due to the fact that the following season, Aroldis Chapman names come off the books. A few other players' contracts fall off the books for the New York Yankees, and they drop back down in that luxury tax. Although they still got to sign Judge. They got to probably start tendering Gleyber Torres pretty soon, his contract and so forth, and some of the youth there. So we shall see with the Yankees. They have a lot of question marks right now to fill, and it's still, I'm not panicking, you know, because, you know, the big shortstops are not moving, and really the Yankees need is a shortstop, a catcher. Everyone's talking about center field with Hicks. Not everyone believes in Aaron Hicks, although me, myself, not a big fan of Hicks either, but he's our center fielder. I could see him in a platoon with Esteban Florio. It's time. My opinion, it's time already with Esteban Florio. We heard him now for almost 3+ years. Esteban Florio, I am getting, as the one thing I do want to say, I want to be totally transparent, I am getting fed up with hearing all these young players in our system, how much we hype them up, you know, how much they're good. No, we can't trade him. We got to keep him in our system. And where are they now? I could give you so many different names, you know, Dexter Fowler. I can give you, you know, all these names that we were going to bring up, Stephen Toplin, you know, we have so many players that we were like, what's the, you know, where are they now? We hold them in the minor leagues. And it's nice to win minor league championships. Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. Oh yeah. They win the AAA affiliate championship. big deal. I want to see the New York Yankees, the glory of the pride from the Bronx. The Bronx Bombers is winning 27 world titles. We're here to win world titles, MLB world titles, not AAA affiliate world titles. That, you know, we it's time now to continue. It's 11 years. We have not won our World Series. Granted, teams are getting better, and I know it's hard to repeat, but if you got guys that are playing well in the minors, let's play. Let's bring them. Let's play. If they're not going to fit in the team, ship them out. Put them in some package. Let them go play. And I think the Yankees are afraid because they have let young talent, traded young talent that develop in other places, you know, from single A, you know, you could see, but the Yankees won World Series when they did that in the 90s. You know, you got so many examples when they traded away players to bring in, because you're close to winning a championship. When you're close to winning a championship, those are the type of moves you did. Look at the Cubs. The Cubs traded away Gleyber Torres to us. You know, they were, and for Chapman, they wanted to win a World Series. Now, I know that the move didn't pan out for the Cleveland Indians at that time when we traded Andrew Miller. We got, Clint Frazier and a couple other players back for that move for Miller. But it didn't work out for neither one. Miller is no longer with the Indians. They didn't win the World Series. Clint Frazier got DFA. But the point is, that was a move that, you know, when you're close to winning a World Series or competing for a World Series, you make that type of move. You're going to have to part away with that. And I think the Yankee organization just don't want to see guys develop. You know, they could have had a chance for Mike Trout. They could have, you know, they had a Lowe down in Miami. You know, they traded him away in 98. You know, certain players that the Yankees have moved, turned out and panned out, developed on their teams. You can't be too much afraid. You know, like I always say, if you're going to draft players and you got good Heidi Tout and Heidi Scouting Report and think they could play them. You know, play them. Don't allow them to rot in the system. I think that's what happened to Clint Frazier. He rotted in the minor league system, although Clint Frazier with his injuries didn't help out either. And another player that's starting to turn, is Miguel Andujar. Miguel Andujar is such an enigma. He has a great bat. Lately, you know, last year, you know, a lot of injuries has been hitting him as well. Or is it really injuries, or the Yankees don't have a position or place to fit him and make an injury so your value don't go diminish? I don't know. It's a lot of question marks to be asked. These are the questions that needs to be asked about it. And, you know, like a banana, if it ripe, it's going to be overripened and then it's going to rot. It's going to go bad. You know, now's the time. If you're not going to play, if Miguel Andujar isn't part, there's no position for the young kid here in the organization on the roster, trade him. Get some, you know what? I'm all right if you trade Miguel Andujar for a single-A player or international money. You know, I the way the Yankees scout international and bring in some international players, why not? Take up, you know, get something in value. You know, it was sad to see Clint Frazier DFA for nothing. You know, Tyler Wade for a player to be named later. He's been in the organization for 9 years with the Yankees, and you got him for a player to be named later. You know, package some of these guys. If they don't fit this future, if they're not going to be here, let them go to another organization that could use the help. You know, hey, Miguel Andujar in Kansas City, you know, could fit. Try to get someone, maybe a Kansas City Royals second round pick that they have in their single-A affiliate. You know, bring them in here, a position that we need, you know. I don't know. I'm throwing out, freestyling that out there to see what the Yankees could do, bring up, you know, those type of moves, GM type of moves that for building for the future, bring them up here, bring single A. You have single A, double A, your Yankee system have good scout, good development system. You go, you try to get those guys, you know, you know what you're going to get in Andujar. We all know it, and he has value. Because he has a really good life back, but it doesn't fit the New York Yankees. You're not going to play him at designated hitter. There's a lot of jab at designated hitter. Miguel Andujar is not a gold glove player in the infield. He cannot. He's not a gold glove third baseman. Second baseman, didn't transfer. He doesn't play shortstop. He's not a good outfielder. You put him out there, it was an adventure. He's a positionless player, you know. And at the Yankees, the way the media, the fan base, the impatientness that we got, doesn't want to, and we don't have the time to develop him on the major league level. And I think you're going to have to move him. Can you put him in a position to succeed in Kansas City, Baltimore. I hate to see it in Baltimore because he'll hurt the Yankees so many 19 times whenever times we play them. But you put Miguel Andujar in Baltimore to play there. Oof, those numbers for Miguel Andujar will be phenomenal. He will be a borderline all-star. You put him there because he could hit, but he just doesn't fit the Yankees as much as I want to. So why you say, well, that's an oxymoron. Why would you want to give up a player that could hit to a competitive rival? Because he doesn't fit the ball club. You know, you gotta find pieces that will fit your ball club, that will become winning. It also changes the clubhouse. You know, you got a bunch of guys that don't fit. And like, and defensive metrics, you make mistakes, you allow teams extra runs, extra outs. And that kills the moral and the balance of the team, calamity on the field. If you bring guys that fit, that play well, despite the fact that it might be untalented, you don't need an all-star in every position. You need good, solid players in every position who do their job well. And Andujar will do the job well on the plate, but if he struggles, everything gets magnified, his defense, his throwing ability, and so forth. So that's why he doesn't fit the New York Yankees, in my opinion. So we shall see with that there. But right now the New York baseball landscape, it's the New York Mets making a lot of moves, a lot of splash, good, bad, and indifferent. You know, they couldn't find a general manager. Nothing could save them. They still haven't had a manager on the field, you know, but the Yankees is quiet right now. The only big news is they brought Aaron Boone back. You know, they signed him for a contract extension. And Luis Rojas will be their third base coach. So he signs on and part of the coaching staff. They keep Matt Blake as their pitching coach, but Marcus Timm is out as a hitting coach. The coaching staff has revamped it for the New York Yankees. They'll bring it in. Once we get closer to spring training, we'll get the coaches in. You know, we'll give you the names of all the coaches and all that, and hopefully the roster. But we shall keep an eye on that. Jason Dominguez, I don't think he's not going to make the major league roster. But don't worry, if he continues to impress, could we see him by next August? Just get a cup of coffee with the Yankees? It's possible. It's possible, especially how we see how he does in the spring training. Also, we've seen Aaron Hicks playing in the Dominican Winter Ball League, doing really well there in center field. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a bounce back will they have. Will be the fourth outfielder for the New York Yankees? Will they give Esteban Florio finally the go? We'll see if they sign anyone. You know, personally, I would like them to sign another player who could play center field at times, interchangeable, you know, and most preferably a guy who doesn't strike out a lot. I mean, I'm tired of seeing the swing and a miss. I do the watch-alongs and play-by-play here on my channel, you know, all season long, and I do see a lot of swing and a miss from the Yankees. But we shall see. A lot of moves to be done there. Yankees got to tweak some positions here, but especially the main ones is up the middle, which is going to be catcher, shortstop, and possible center field. You don't know how Hicks' arm is going to be, but we shall see there. Cashman has his hands full. With you. I just wanted to make a quick podcast, a little 45 minutes, the Bomber Strike Back. I appreciate those. It's the holiday season, guys. Always love one another. Remember your loved ones and remember that they're always there. And no matter good, bad, or indifferent, they're still your loved ones and always love one another. So, guys, I'm going to leave the podcast tonight as that. I want to thank everyone listening to us and hit us on all the podcasts where you find your podcast in Spotify. Reason FM, Anchor FM, Google Podcast, Podbean, and Buzzsprout, anywhere that you find your podcast, just put BX Sports Jedi Network, and the Bronx and the Bomber Strike Back will be on there to see. The MMA program will be on there as well. The Rangers Hockey Town Republic will be on there, that our podcast, and the Return of the Knicks podcast. So if those that are listening will be watching this a little later, join us Saturday night, November 27th at 6 p.m. We'll have the Knicks-Hawks watch-along, their first game against the Knicks playing the Hawks since their playoff exit. But, hey, from me to you, thank you so much. We'll see you next time, and may the Bombers be with you.